Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. You and I were just talking about where the Joker brothers, the Jokic brothers, rank on the GOAT list. Probably the all-time great fan list. I mean, we were discussing the drama that could be built up if the Heat go on to win this thing. Because the Nuggets and Heat did have some drama, Angel. That was a crazy time. When was that? That was 2021-2022 season, right? It was November. Was that November of 2021? So that would have been after the bubble. That would have been the year that the Nuggets went to play. That was the 4-0 year. That was when they lost to Phoenix in the second round 4-0. I believe so. Nikola Jokic shoves Markieff Morris after Morris fouled him. Drama ensued. Miami's going after him. We all remember.
Yeah. Five on four. And Jokic. Oh, no!
Mm-hmm.
No!
Marlo was like, no, what have you done? You've betrayed me. You're not the nice, innocent Nikola Jokic. Will that come up? Jimmy Butler was on that team. How many guys were on that team? Mark Morris isn't there anymore.
No, but I believe Hero is there still. He may be playing by the time we get to the finals.
Maybe. Remember that, though? They were, like, waiting outside the locker room?
That was November 21.
Remember when they were waiting outside the locker room? There's that crazy picture. It's kind of ominous-looking picture. Where you could see Jimmy Butler poking in. Lowry was on that team.
And Lowry still, was there.
Yeah, he was there.
Duncan Robinson was there. Vincent, very young Gabe Vincent, and Caleb Martin, and Bam Adebayo. So and a lot of those guys were still there.
And they were all, like, the whole roster was waiting. They went to the Nuggets locker room and were waiting, and they claimed they were just going to talk. What was that? Was that really what we thought it was? Because it looked like Miami Heat was waiting outside the locker room to potentially gang up on Nikola Jokic?
Viral photo shows Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and other Miami players gathered in the hallway at Ball Arena where a security guard was blocking the entry to the Nuggets locker room.
That was a weird time, wasn't it? Like, we were kind of nervous for him. We're like, dude, what are they going to do? Are they going to come after him? He got suspended a game. Joker did after that.
The Jokic brothers got on Twitter, Strahinja and Nemanja.
And they were just talking trash to Morris.
Quote, you should leave this the way it is instead of publicly threatening our brother.
Yes.
Your brother made a dirty play first. If you want to make a step further,
that's right,
be sure we will be waiting for you.
Oh, yeah, who are you taking, the Morris brothers or the Jokic brothers?
I'm taking Strahinja against anyone.
They were, and I was like feeling for them, like the family. And so there's part of me, it's like a movie. I'm like, okay, does Joker have enough muscle on his? Okay, he's got his brothers.
They felt threatened by that.
He's got his. Oh, they did. They were threatened.
It was a dirty shot.
It was a dirty shot. Joker took a dirty shot, too.
After he blocked Morris's shot.
After he did that, yes. But the Heat took it to another level because then they were going to go harass him, whatever they were going to do.
Yeah, Jimmy was.
I think they claimed they were going to talk to him.
Yeah, Jimmy was on the court, you know, Malone, just seeing a picture of Malone, just like this terrified look on his face trying to hold Jokic back. But Jimmy's over here running his mouth, as usual, as Butler has done in the past. Like, hey, let's go take this out back, let's go outside, whatever. And then they try to get in the locker room after the game.
I'm sorry, I got respect for Jimmy Butler. He didn't have his shirt off the other night in a press conference. He's shredded.
He is.
But he's skinnier than crap. And yep. I'm like, Nikola Jokic would squeeze you once and you'd
break
be done.
You.
He would break you. His brothers? Isn't the middle brother? Which one's his name?
Nemanja.
He's like a amateur boxer, isn't he? And in Serbia. And then the other one, Strahinja, he looks like he wants to kill people. Like he would murder someone. just for fun. They were
they're both completely tatted up.
Dude, and they're just giants. Did you see how big they looked the other night? They're like sitting there with Joker's daughter, you know, and they look all nice and then they turn to Joker and they're, oh man. Mysterio, he's shredded, but he's MJ's son.
Oh. He is. Finally, someone gets it.
Is that...
That's a legit conspiracy theory that Jimmy's mom was paid off by Michael Jordan, and he is the son of Michael Jordan.
Do you think anybody in a press conference would have to ask him that?
I knew it.
Would you really?
I mean, we're about to have to have a flood of media members covering these two teams.
You would ask him in a press conference.
See, Jimmy, there's a rumor going around. There's a conspiracy going around the internet may or may not be the son of the great Michael Jordan. Can you confirm or deny?
I think he'd flip out on you.
No.
I mean, he wouldn't do much.
But look at him. Just look at him. Tell me he's not doing stuff that Michael's doing.
Since you started this, I have been paying close attention to his face more than I normally do.
He's got the attitude of it. He's got the trash talk.
I'm just trying to... Google the pic of MJ and Butler with a shaved head. That's what Mysterio says. I mean, Jordan... Okay, you showing me? Oh, dang.
That's his son.
That's not edited. That. Oh!
I mean, you got the nose is there.
We need another documentary here. I don't think we can cover all that in a 3-hour documentary. Well, there's that. That makes me. I don't know. These NBA players. Some get out and do stuff. Some don't.
You're traveling a lot, staying in hotels.
Some can stay faithful, and some can't. I guess. Wow, that's an interesting. That would be a story. That would be the story.
And Jokic, oh no, no.
I love Marlo.
It's like a tragedy.
No, not our Jokic. He's perfect. Marlo sounded like a disappointed mother.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Don't retaliate. Don't bully. And I have all the respect in the world for Marlo. Golly. But he sounded so disappointed. Marlo said the other day at the end of the Western Conference Finals when – he said, if I'm Jamal, I made the defensive stop, and I've been really good. I'm a little upset that I didn't get Western Conference MVP. I'm kidding, of course, is what he said. But he said it before.
I mean, I think that's a fair argument as why he could have gotten MVP of the series.
Joker is, by the way, my Glass Doctor Player of the Week. Surprise, surprise, obvious award. I waited. I did factor in. Normally, I go Sunday. I go Monday to Sunday. And obviously, we had one of the games outside of that. So I did add that in because it was 4. It's not my fault the Lakers couldn't make this interesting and make it a week's worth of games this week that I could crown another player or Joker again. Does that spill over at all? Is all the bad blood gone from Miami and Denver?
From the Nuggets Nation side, yes, because this is so beyond petty scuffles on the court or whatever. This is a chance at history that this team and this fan base recognizes. The national media, they'll bring it up.
Are they going to make it a story? Like, is
they're going to try to?
Will Butler respond assuming they win? Will Butler respond with, "Yeah, he hurt one of our own, and now we could take it out on him in the finals"?
It's possible. I wouldn't put that past Jimmy to say something like that, or the media. Good. The media will try to pull that out of them. They're gonna try to search for
what
narrative, what conflict do we have between these two teams? It's going to go to that.
Do you think Miami should go sign Morris for a 10-day contract? Just to get him on this roster.
That's fine, but I'm putting the Jokic brothers right behind your bench.
Oh, I'm suiting them up. You ain't going more than 2 deep anyway on your bench. You might as well suit those guys up.
Put them at the seats that fans sit that's right next to the bench. put them there.
You ever see, did you see the movie The Replacements?
Is that with the refs? Like the football refs?
No.
No.
It's Keanu Reeves
That's
and John Favreau.
Oh. Refs. Yeah.
When they,
it's the football movie with Keanu Reeves.
I get what you're saying. Wasn't that the movie where they go out and just start drop kicking people?
I've never seen it.
They just start fighting out there on the field, and they're throwing flags everywhere. That is what the Jokic brothers would be on the basketball court. Someone would lean in on them, and they just throw a punch.
I said it before. This team is so much mature since then. Even that was 2 years ago.
Do you think Joker would do the same thing now?
No. Unless he was provoked.
Well, Morris did provoke him.
Right.
He hit him. It was a dirty shot. Does Joker retaliate in the same way that he did back then?
Probably not, because at this point you can't afford to do that, because that you're talking possible suspensions in the finals. Can't
well,
have
yeah.
That.
Okay, let's say regular last game of the season. Doesn't matter. You're already in. Does Joker do the same thing? He's playing.
Probably not.
He's changed. Well, you know, you aren't seeing the swipes like you. Remember when Joker would disagree with a foul? Or, no, they'd turn it over or miss the shot or whatever, and he'd get mad, and he'd just swipe like a bear. Bear paw would go across there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he'd catch him. Sometimes he didn't, but it was a frustration foul. You don't see that as much with Joker. He did it in the Phoenix series as they were leaving. That was a sad look. He got it. That was the same year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a weird year for Joker.
I think he'll let his aggressive side come out, because you do not want to get up in the face of Jokic, because, one, he's 7 feet tall, and he's yelling at you in a language you don't even know. So that's terrifying. But
oh, he'd be a terrifying
I think, you know,
dude.
When the Booker thing happened a couple years ago, when he got up in Booker's face, like, I think that would be more of mine, what he would do this time around.
Yeah.
Just get up in the face.
That was Joker's.
But his team would pull him back from it quickly.
I think Gordon would.
Gordon's taking forearms to the throat.
Was that the year, the Phoenix year?
That was in the playoffs.
That was the Miami Heat year, too, though, when they had the issue with Morris. That was November. And then the playoffs, second round, 4-0. That was Joker's first MVP year, too.
Yep.
So that was a very strange year, because you kind of saw that, wow, Joker's temper is really getting the best of him here. Not to say it wasn't warranted, kind of, but still not the best thing you could do in that situation. And then the next year, of course, he was MVP again, and they got knocked out by Golden State in the first round.
It takes a lot to get him to that point. It takes a lot for him to show joyous emotion.
But when you see that switch, in that video and then in the Suns video, when Booker got up in Joker's face, you saw the switch. His face changed. Like, his lip changed. It's
for real. Scary.
And then you got that, plus you got the Joker brothers on the side.
Uh-uh. Some dogs.
I'm not messing with that. We were joking about this. In the 2009 Western Conference run, JaVale McGee was there. And his mom is well-decorated. I think she's an Olympian. She won a gold medal in the Olympics in basketball. And she was like really animated and cheering. And so she became kind of a fixture of the team suddenly. And that was really fun. But nothing near what we're seeing with Nikola Jokic's family. I'll say his brothers. Like, his wife's not really entertaining. The baby's adorable and all that stuff's cute. But, yeah. I'm telling you, man, that's a cool side story with all this.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, oh, his brothers are looking intimidating. It's the moment you see after they win the finals where Jokic goes over and just hugs his brother and his sister and his family, and you see the amount of love that this guy has, not just from us as fans. We adore this guy, but his family loves him so much. And to see he's the baby. It's crazy. He's the baby Joker.
He's the baby of them, yes.
And they lift him up and they praise him and they give him so much adoration. He takes that and that's what he goes home to.
Those two dudes, you can just tell. I don't know that much about them. I'm sure we're going to learn a lot about them.
I hope so.
They're going to probably try to get those guys in interviews somehow.
They'll be featured in the finals broadcast on a timeout or something.
Wouldn't you feel comfortable? Those two dudes would easily die for Nikola Jokic.
Absolutely.
They would step in front of a train for him.
They
you
would
just
jump
see
into
it.
The middle of a basketball game to defend their brother if they could.
They would take on the entire stadium. They would.
They wanted to fight Devin Booker on the court.
Yeah. Oh, Devin Booker. Oh, I'd pay money to see. What's Strahania?
Strahania, yeah.
I'd pay money to see him and Devin Booker.
Oh, that's one punch.
I know. I'd still pay
that's
money.
Over.
I'd still pay money to see it, because Devin Booker just has one of those faces.
But they're probably the nicest guys, too.
Maybe.
I think because they show their goofy
side. Did you see in the Western Conference final MVP announcement, somebody smacked, like jokingly smacked Nikola on the back of the head? And you kind of saw the fire go, what the? Who just did that?
And Christian Brown's just smiling.
Who was it?
I don't know who it was.
But you saw it, and he's like, he's all amongst friends up there on that stage. There's no bad blood of any of those guys up there. Unless it was Thomas Bryant.
It wasn't like
a
hard slab. Everyone else was hitting him on the head, but it was like the last one that he felt. It's like, ah.
He turned around.
Who hit
like,
me?
And then he realized, oh, Americans, you guys are idiots.
Oh, you give me trophy. I don't know.
You guys smack people in the butt and the head whenever you do something right.
Put this in my horse stable.
What do you think he did with that trophy?
Oh, it's probably a play toy for his daughter or something. Some shiny object.
It's almost like his thing now. Like, it's his thing to just not care. He can't ever go back on it.
No, they're all his trophies are in some stable in Serbia.
He probably cuts the top of the basketball off, makes it, puts grain
he probably
in it,
uses
feeds his horses
for,
out of it.
For like farming tools or
probably
something.
Probably welded or probably melted it down. And they're like fancy pliers or something. Or horse scrapers for their hooves or whatever. All right, I got a choice for you today. This is called Listener's Choice. Thanks to our great friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling, I have Greeley Stampede tickets. And here's what I'm going to do, Angel. I don't know. Can you find me the song again? Because I got we got tons of these pairs. Flo Rida. I'm going to let you pick. So I got a 4-pack of tickets to go see the PRCA Finals Rodeo Thursday, June 29th. As a part of the Greeley Stampede, I got a 4-pack of those, or you can take Flo Rida. I got a pair of those. That's Friday, June 23rd at 8 p.m. They sang the Welcome to Our House song, if you know it. So I'm going to let you pick. There it is. Bad song. You're gonna hear that live. So you get a pick. Caller 10, you're either getting a 4-pack of PRCA Finals Rodeo tickets for Thursday, June 29th, or a pair of tickets to Flo Rida with Neon Union Friday, June 23rd at 8 o'clock. Caller 10 on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. Quick note. Pick these bad boys up here at this location, if you know where KFK is located, before June 9th. If you do not pick them up before June 9th, we will be in a different location, and who Lord knows who will be in this building when we are gone. Caller number 10, 970-353-1310. Again, 970-353-1310. 23 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Rodeo Radio is back during the Greeley Stampede. Only in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Okay, I fired up a little fun Twitter thing here. Aaron Gordon or Kenyon Martin? Who you taking at 4? Who you taking at 4? We know who Dixon's not taking. I could put Aaron Gordon and Angel up there and he'd take you. I'm sure of it.
I don't know about that.
He gets it out for somebody and look out. The arch nemesis. They don't call him the arch nemesis of the show for no reason. They do call him that. He is the arch nemesis of the whole show. You know what? You don't want to be an arch nemesis. You don't want your internet connection to be your arch nemesis. You don't want it. Have you guys heard of Allo Fiber? They've been creating and connecting fiberhoods since 2003. That's 20 years of distributing the telecom game and future-proofing communities. Visit allofiber.com and change the way you experience internet. It's internet without the constant buffering and rebooting. That is Allo Fiber. Check them out online at allofiber.com/FYI. Aaron Gordon or Kenyon Martin? That's my fun Twitter thing. It's fun. Mysterious says, on the court or on the streets? Well, you're taking Martin on the streets. You don't get a tattoo of lips on your neck if you can't fight. Just throw his tattoo of lips on his neck.
Is that what that correlates to?
Yeah. You got to be a tough dude to tattoo. You either got to be a tough dude or a really weird dude, I guess. And Martin's not a really weird dude. Malone did get a technical for complaining about the Lakers sagging off of Gordon, just saying. I'm telling you, he'd pick you. Gordon has been awesome in the whole playoff run. He's been very good. Very good. Can he be a liability at times? I guess, but so
on
can
offense,
any player.
Yes.
Yeah, at times.
But you're not, I said we don't need Gordon to go for 30.
You know, when he plays outside of himself and tries to go for 30, then that's when you're going, okay, Gordon, no, man, that's just not you. It might happen sometimes. You can hit those threes. I'm needing you in the paint. I'm needing you digging stuff out, looking for rebounds, trying to get dunks, looking for a dunk. And I need that. I need you to be physical on the defensive side, and he's been that. He's definitely been that. 30 minutes after the hour, what did the winner of the tickets didn't choose, did he? He's going to choose here?
Yes, when he picks them up.
I was going to say, I'd give away the other set. Braden?
Braden from Fort Collins.
BR Connection. Braden, if you're listening, I need you to text the show and tell us which tickets you want. Or you can call. Tell us which ones, because I'm going to give the other ones away. Whichever ones you don't take, I'm going to give the other ones away. Thanks to Lemons Heating and Cooling.
Can I take one of each?
You're going to be sitting next to some random
That's
mulligan.
That's fine. I'm going to two shows.
You could be sitting next to Dixon, man. Hey. Have you seen Dixon in person? He's a big dude.
I don't think so.
He's a big dude. Like, he could probably stand up next to the Jokic brothers, and you'd be like, I didn't know there's a third one. And that's not like, they're good-looking dudes. No, Dixon, I'm trying to be nice. They're not great-looking dude. Nah.
They're good-looking for Europeans, I guess.
Let me see here. I just have a picture, because I just posted that on Twitter, too.
Picture of Dixon?
No, not lately.
Brady has pictures of all of his hooligans.
I have all of you guys.
Whether or not you know he took these pictures.
Braden, text the text line, 888-530-0043. Let me know which ticket you want, Flow Rider or the rodeo ones. They're not bad-looking dudes.
The Jokic brothers?
The middle child's not bad-looking dude.
I don't think so.
The big guy's just a big, mean-looking dude.
I mean, they're...
I imagine,
for Europeans, yes.
I imagine
fine.
They do okay with the ladies. Those tats, dude, and the strength. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do all right. So that's a compliment to you, Dixon. That's
they value different things in people over there.
I guess.
Strength.
We ain't got it over here. 32 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Some really weird debates today. Angel, this show has just been all over. That's what happens when you start your week. And you think you have jury duty. There's a lot of thoughts flying there, and I get distracted easily. Zach Stevens is joining me now, our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, have you ever had jury duty before?
Oh, I've had jury duty. I've actually been on a case, thankfully. The case was over before my first day was even complete. So it was a nice one in, one out.
Did you appreciate, like, as far as, did you take an interest in it? I mean, I know it's inconvenient. Everybody's got stuff to do. But was there a part of you that's like, this is actually kind of fascinating?
Oh, heck yeah. I personally really enjoyed it. Now, you know, it does get in the way of work, so I definitely see the inconveniences, but I personally love the love going through it. And when I see the jury duty thing, as long as it's not during a Broncos thing, I don't mind it at all.
Well, see, that's why I was sweating bullets on Monday, because I'm like, the Nuggets are probably going to – they're either going to win Monday night or they're still going to go on. Either way, we're going to be talking about chances at history for the Nuggets, and I'm like, I might be out of the show all week, because it was supposed to go 4 to 5 days, and I went through half the day, and ultimately I didn't make the cut, so I was relieved at least. Okay, I can still get on and ramble on about the Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I actually got the summons this past year during training camp, and and I was just, you know, crossing my fingers, hoping I wasn't on the list that time, because it can't miss a training camp practice. Thankfully, I didn't.
I know. We lucked out, man, but I'm sure our time is coming for the full thing some point. All right, Zach. Well, we got the news yesterday. Brandon McManus, he tweeted it out, then the Broncos confirmed it. But finally, we're done with all of the players from that Super Bowl 50 season. Brandon McManus is gone. What went into that?
Yeah, a couple of things. And the Broncos, first and foremost, they were able to save over $3 million, almost $4 million in cap space this year. They put a post June 1 designation on release in McManus, so they opened up almost $4 million this year. They'll have $1.25 million in dead cap this year and next year. Typically, some teams would do that. Some teams would just take all of the dead cap, which would be $2.5 million this year. But that's not Sean Payton's way of working things. Sean Payton wants the money right now. And then what do? They just went and turned that savings into Cam Fleming later in the day. Sean Payton wheeling and dealing to maximize his dollars. But like you said, the end of an era with Brandon McManus. And I think it was a couple of things. One, you talked about how it was that Super Bowl, the last member of the Super Bowl 50 team, and it was great to have as many of those guys on the team for as long as possible, up to an extent. You know, the Broncos can't be hanging on to Super Bowl 50 at all anymore with how things have gone downhill. And because Brandon McManus was on that Super Bowl 50 team, he has been a leader. He's a union rep. He is as ingrained to anyone in that culture that they have. And Sean Payton wants to change that culture, Brady. So, and then on top of that, Brandon McManus had a really down year last year. He had the fifth worst kicking percentage in the entire NFL. And so I think Sean just thought, you know, we can save some money, time for a change, a culture change, and on the field change. Plenty of reasons to make this move happen.
So it was a mix, you know, saving some money. Maybe it's time to just wash all the memories away of what was happening a few years ago. Was there any personality differences there? Because we know that Brandon McManus, he kind of liked to have fun. He's a kicker. He'd mess around once in a while. And Sean Payton, I'm not saying he's all serious all the time, but he's also kind of like, man, when it's business time, it's business time. Was there anything there?
Yeah, I think that's part of the culture change that he wanted. And McManus, as a special teamer, you're kind of on your own in a way where you can do things how you want to do them, especially when you're a veteran getting paid a lot of money. And over the past couple of training camps, Brandon McManus has at times gone into the locker room after fulfilling his kicking obligations and came back out wearing an official's outfit and pretended like he was a referee during training camp practice. I don't really think that would fly with Sean Payton in town. You know, Vic Fangio let it happen. Nathaniel Hackett joked about it, but that wouldn't really fly with Sean Payton. So I do think that things like that played into the culture aspect.
Yeah, so what's next then? You mentioned the Cam Fleming thing. You mentioned already saving some money. So where will the Broncos go with this with their kicker situation?
Yeah, we're sitting here, what day is it? We're looking at May 24th right now. Not many great options are available right now. So you have to choose the best of what's left. And the Broncos today worked out three punters, Brett Maher, Parker White, and Elliott Fry. Elliott Fry and Parker White, I would be shocked if anyone knew anything about them because, honestly, Brady, these guys have done barely anything and the NFL. That's just a fact. But Brett Maher is maybe the most interesting kicker in the NFL. Not necessarily the best kicker, but the most interesting kicker in the NFL, and he has ties with Sean Payton. In 2021, Brett Maher was the Saints kicker for about half the season when Sean Payton was there. They were dealing with some injuries, so they brought Brett Maher in, and he was really good, almost 90% field goal percentage. Last year, he signs with the Cowboys. He hits 90% of his field goals, including something like 8 or 9 of 11 from 50-plus, so he's good short. He's good deep. One of the best kickers during the regular season last year, and then what happens? The playoffs come around, and Brady, he goes 1 for 6 on extra points in the playoffs when it mattered the most. He missed five straight extra points, and he was a talking point around the country for those 2 weeks. What do the Cowboys do? Do they release him? He's a really good kicker. Do they pick up someone else? So he had the yips for five games. So on one hand, you can convince yourself, Brett Maher may be one of the best kickers in the NFL, and the Broncos are somehow able to get him in late May. What a steal for him because of how he's played over these past 2 years outside of those five extra points. Or you could say, oh, geez, is this a guy that the Broncos are picking up that is still stuck in the yips? So the Broncos worked those guys out today, probably put them in some pressure situations to see how Brett Maher would handle that. And from my understanding, Brett Maher is taking a physical, kind of hanging around the facility. I expect him to be the Broncos' next kicker.
Wow.
And I truly think that's going to be a good move. But, of course, that does make you a little nervous just with those yips at the end of the season.
Yeah, so yeah, maybe you can just chalk it up to that. Just for whatever reason, the yips mentally, just a disaster in your mind that day. I mean, we all have our bad days. It just so happened to be one of those type of days, one of those type of situations.
Yeah, exactly. And I said he was one of six for extra points in the postseason. He was actually one of five in the Cowboys' first postseason game when they absolutely destroyed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the extra points, it didn't actually hurt the team that much. And then the following week, he missed his first extra point, which then the Cowboys decided, you know what, we're just not going to kick extra points anymore. and so they did lose that game against the 49ers. But it really was just one awful, awful game. And to me, again, you're sitting here the end of May, you can have a guy that has been really exceptional the past two seasons outside of one awful game. I'm probably going with that as opposed to guys that really haven't kicked in the NFL before.
Yeah, now I tend to agree with you that maybe it was just the perfect storm of chaos and all of that. Then, you know, he can recover from that, so we'll see. Zach, what else of note are we missing here? Are the Broncos looking to make any other kind of moves here? As you know, we're getting to the more we're getting deeper into the more meaningful offseason work, or we're getting closer, I should say.
Yeah, we are. Broncos began OTAs yesterday. We, as a media, get to watch our first OTAs under Sean Payton tomorrow. We get to watch everything, so we'll be breaking down, you know, how Russ looks, what exactly they're doing, because Sean Payton's done this offseason differently, like we've talked about, Brady. Instead of hitting, getting on the field as soon as they can, Sean Payton's been more focused on getting this team conditioned. So we'll see just where this team's at, how their install's coming along, and also probably get to talk to Russ for the first time since the Broncos hired Sean Payton. So it'll be interesting. It'll be a very newsworthy day tomorrow. But then in terms of just the roster building, where the team's at, they signed Cam Fleming to bring him back on the offensive line yesterday. And I got to say, I think that's a really good under-the-radar move by getting quality swing tackle depth behind Garrett Bowles and Mike McGlinchey. The Broncos really didn't have anyone. I mean, Quinn Bailey was their swing tackle before bringing in Cam Fleming, and Cam Fleming was good last year. So I think that's a good move. And in terms of moves that they could still make, you just look at that running back room. Now, Sean Payton, the last time we talked to him at rookie minicamp, he said that he believes Javonte Williams is going to be ready for the start of training camp. Brady, with how devastating Javonte Williams' injury was, tearing three ligaments in his knee, and typically the recovery time is anywhere from a year to 18 months on that, I'm just not going to believe it until I see him out there. And I do believe the Broncos are being just a little bit too optimistic, maybe a lot too optimistic about Javonte, honestly. But if he's back at the start of training camp, then the Broncos running back room is set. I just don't believe that's going to be the case. So you keep a look on who the Broncos could pick up. Could it be a Kareem Hunt in free agency? And then the one to keep your eye on is there was a report a couple of weeks ago that the Vikings had a trade in place with a team in the AFC for Dalvin Cook. And they didn't want to make the move until the post-June 1 designation so it could help them salary cap-wise. keep your eye on that. George Payton was with the Vikings when they drafted Dalvin Cook, and Dalvin Cook had a 1,000-yard season last year. I believe he's going on four straight 1,000-yard seasons. So that is one where if the Broncos really wanted to make a splash, that would be, you know, a week. We're only a week or two away from that.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I certainly will keep my eye out for that, Zach. And yeah, the running back thing, we just kept it. Here's what I look at when I keep hearing different versions of how Javonte Williams is really doing, and that's what bothers me. Is one day it's, oh no, he'll be ready to go by training camp. The next day it's, we'll see. So that's what bothers me. Is they're not like a clear cut thing. That typically means somewhat worst case scenario.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. You know, at the combine, George Payton said something along the lines of, yeah, we expect him to be ready by week one. Then the next couple of times we talked to George Payton, he really backed off of that and you know, was saying, you know, we expect him to be back at some point this season. And then the most recent time we talked to Sean Payton, he, you know, made that training camp comment. And to me, I understand that running backs' careers are typically short, so you want to maximize them as well as you can. But I talked to Terrell Davis, and actually Terrell Davis also talked to the Broncos last week, and they put it out on social media, which I was shocked that they put this out. But when I talked to Terrell last year in November, he said, the one thing that I regret in my career is coming back too soon from the knee injury. You want to come back. No one wants to come back more than the running back, more than the guy that touches the ball so much in a game, but you have to let it get fully healthy. And that's just all I have in my mind when thinking about Javonte Williams, is he not only tore his ACL, but he tore two other ligaments in there. There is no reason to rush him back right now, because you don't want to ruin the rest of his career by rushing him back too soon right now. And so, Brady, I'm with you. I would be cautious with this. And until I see Javonte out there looking 100%, I'm going to have a really hard time believing that he's back for the start of camp.
Well, I'll be curious to get your thoughts after what you see during the OTA process too, Zach. So always appreciate you, my man. We'll be looking out for updates from you, and we will keep our eyes out for that possible Dalvin Cook situation. That would be fascinating.
It certainly would be fascinating. It'd be a very Sean Payton type of move. I mean, look, the Broncos have kind of gone all in already this season with Sean Payton, and that would just be another move to push all the chips in this year.
I love it, man. Zach, appreciate you as always, and we'll try to catch up with you soon.
Right on. Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Brady.
All right, man. Angel, let's take a quick break. We got to get to what did we learn today on this 24th day of May. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say,
all right, what did we learn? 24th day of May. I learned that it is an interesting debate, but the one thing we shouldn't be debating is who number one is. It's Nikola Jokic. I'm floored by the networks putting out the Nuggets have a decision to make as far as ultimately which number 15 will they retire. There is no decision to make. Nikola Jokic is far and away number one, best of all time. But if you want to honor Carmelo Anthony, raise a jersey of him. Don't retire the number. Just put Anthony up there. Why does it have to be a retiring of the number to honor a great player? Angel, what'd you learn?
Kind of along the same lines of that with just talking about Carmelo, I think it's time that we put aside the pettiness, put aside the booing whenever he was in town, the whatever, you know, you didn't want to be here. That's done now. He's retired. He's not playing anywhere else.
No. And he has outwardly
shown on Twitter how much he appreciates this franchise, how much he appreciates George Karl. And we talked about it. We're going to continue to talk about the history of this franchise up to this point. Carmelo is a part of that. And this really does feel like we're coming full circle with this team and this franchise. This is just the beginning of what they're going to do. but it feels very full circle in that we can remember these legends in Nuggets history that it took them to get here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's part of what this is, man. We're entering uncharted territory for the Denver Nuggets. They've got a finals to get to. They don't know who they're playing yet. Is it going to be the Miami Heat? Probably. Or will the Boston Celtics make history and find a way to come back from a 3-0 deficit? We'll see. But yes, the history of the Nuggets, respect it, love it. There's all these great Nuggets. I can't wait to talk about more of them. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.